if you were associated with the city school system since 1970, and if even if you didn't personally live through it, I imagine that your experience and your exposure to racial issues in the school system must be great. Mm-hmm. Can you tell me your first recollection of when, for instance, when were black children integrated?
Okay, I was a student at JSU from 66 to 70. Mm-hmm. And in early in 1970, my wife and I lived in an apartment over near the Eastwood community. And integration had begun already. In that particular year, there was an attempted knife or a knife incident on one of the trade school buses between black students and white students. And living on the edge of the black community, I became painfully aware of the problems in the schools.
Right.
The following year, and well, late 60s and on, our schools have been fully integrated. The old Eastwood School has been shut down totally as far as a public school ever since I've been in Jacksonville. It's currently used as a daycare center. JSU owns the property. We have had, racially, our ups and downs, but I dare say the Jacksonville City Schools is probably head and shoulders above most area schools because of our relationship with the fort, our relationship with the university, and many social issues that some systems are just now handling we crossed 15 years ago. We still have pockets of racial issues, but by and large, most of our disagreements between black students and white students generate over non-racial issues. But then, because you have an interracial disagreement, it's assumed it's a racial problem, when in reality it's an issue problem. And again, I think overall we have pretty good relationships with the races at this time.
The Eastwood School is where black children went before integration?
Yes.
And do you know whereabouts on campus that was?
It's over behind the Roebuck Manor housing facility near Brownwood. It's the baseball field is still used by the black community primarily for recreational purposes. It's open to anyone,
right,
but because of the proximity to the black community, it's still used by them. Of course, the daycare facilities house or use the facility itself. JSU has maintained the buildings and takes care of utilities and the management of those buildings.
Do you remember a crossroads maybe or an intersection that would help?
Yes. Go down South Church until you reach the Roebuck Manor housing project.
Mm-hmm.
That's sort of behind the old...
I think it's Gardner, right behind the
cemetery. Gardner. Then turn left,
okay,
on Gardner, and it's about half a mile up Gardner on the right.
Since schools were integrated, or at least in Jacksonville had the appearance of being integrated by the time you came, do you know how the school system react to having picked up additional children that they hadn't planned for? Was there an overburden on the Jacksonville school system when they integrated?
I'm not aware of one. I know the Jacksonville system was also involved in a building programs at that time to house well, many students, Fort Grove, City Grove, and the integration of the black students. But again, I'm not aware of any problems that began with the city system.
Reaction of the white community?
For Mixed. Again, speaking from my experience, on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being the best possible cooperation, I say most issues have hovered around 7 to 8. Again, they're individuals, and pockets of deep resentment. By and large, most people have accepted the integration, and it really hasn't been a problem. Now, one issue was the involvement of the existing black school faculty into the high school. The principal of Eastwood was a Mr. Johnny Brown. He was offered principalship of the high school, but declined for whatever the reason, and took over as the assistant principal and served in that capacity until 1979, which time he retired. He was a dedicated educator, along with many of the teachers that came from Eastwood. Some are still teaching with us, and it's been my experience that the majority of these teachers are darn good teachers.
We have the years of experience to back it up.
Yes.
Speaking specifically to the Southern way in United States education, are there any specific challenges that you feel should be addressed on a paper in Southern education?
They would deal more with just general reform. Mm-hmm. I'm afraid in the South there's an idea among the public, if they have a job doing well, paying the bills, and they think, well, I came through the educational system, I'm happy, therefore it should suffice for my kids. Not realizing that most of the jobs their kids will hold have not been invented yet, and many of the jobs they're planning on holding will be obsolete. And so it's maybe to educate the populace, more so the working class, the non-degree class, those who don't see the change on the horizon for job requirements and minimum employment requirements in, say, the next 10, 15, 20 years.
To that end, and for the community, the JSU has a Center for Non-Traditional and Evening Studies. Mm-hmm. Would that benefit what you're speaking of? Do you guys have any interface with that?
We have some. Of course, again, the difficulty, those that need to be exposed to those programs don't come.
Do you offer literacy programs to the community?
We have an adult basic education program in which we offer at no expense to the individuals preparation for the GED examination. We hold classes two nights a week, 6:30 to 8:30, and have at any given time from 30 to 50 people enrolled.
That's a good reaction. Is there an attempt made when they come in for the GED to try to make sure that that educational emphasis is transferred over to their children?
Yes.
Like give them the emotional burden that you're here now.
Also, we have in the system a Chapter 1 program designed for those financially and socioeconomically deprived students. And we do involve the parents in that program. We have the parents must come in the schools once or twice a year. We have activities for them, trying to educate the parents along with the child, realizing that it takes the whole family being educated to make a difference.
In regards to the history of the school system and the Board of Education, what I'd like to do is be able to cross-check with the Anniston Star or the Jacksonville News any specific dates that may be of import to the system. Do you have any dates for me, anything I can reference, any sources you can...
Okay, I can make available to you all the minutes we have on file here of the Boards of Education.
Okay.
Of course, they can't leave here, but you're welcome to study them at your heart's content, and we'll make them available for you. In terms of dates, historically, of course, the 1929 merger of the city schools with university, the 1977, plus or minus a year, dates when the city school board was elected as opposed to being appointed. At that time, there were only two other systems, city systems, in the state that had elected boards. They were all appointed, the rest were. And a a representative in the state legislature whose wife used to teach at Jacksonville High School, whose contract was not renewed, then began a move to have an elected board. And, of course, that took a statewide referendum because of the Alabama Constitution.
Yes.
But as of that, we have an elected board now, for good or better or for worse. But again, that 1977 year would be pivotal, particularly through the Anderson Star articles and that on the elected board. Another issue, again, I word this carefully, my predecessor and the current Board of Education then from 1988 to 1992 had some stormy times, and particularly in 91 and 92, the Star was replete with articles about disagreements in the City Board of Education. Of course, that culminated in basically my predecessor did resign and took a position at Auburn University. I've still got predominantly the same board we had then, and it still has many of the same ideas and concepts. Of course, this all revolves back into what I mentioned earlier about the relationship between the university, the city schools, and the city of Jacksonville. City of Jacksonville, not the present administration, the previous administrations, resented the university ownership and operation of the schools. The end result was the Jacksonville City Schools was an orphan child. If we went to the university after 1967, they would say, oh, you're a city school. If we went to the city, oh, you're a university laboratory school. And so we got bounced back and forth to the tune that the latest financial statement of 127 city systems, the Jacksonville system, is funded in terms of funds per ADA, per average daily attendance. We're number 117 out of 126 in funds available. Yet we maintain standardized test scores, some of the highest in Alabama, highest in the area, and well above the national average. Yet we're one of the poorest funded, totally funded schools. Another factor is the local support. The Jacksonville City Schools ranks about 100 in local support for education. Of course, this was not planned. It's historical. Back in the 70s, this system received in excess of $500,000 per year in impact aid from the federal government for the military dependents that came to school here. That money was virtually unearmarked. And so when the schools grew at that time, local contributions did not increase, but federal monies increased. And because the funds were there, it negated the need, or the apparent need, for the city to fund the local schools. Since then, we've dropped down to where we net about $50,000 a year in impact aid.
Federal.
And that may be gone totally next year. Yet local funds have only picked up from zero to $86,000 a year. The city funds public ed 1.7% of their budget. They fund education about 5% of their budget. Recreation 5%. We're way at the bottom of the heap. But again, the present city administration is cooperative, and we're looking towards improvement in those financial relationships.
Sir, it concludes the questions that we have prepared. Is there anything, any other vein that you feel I should approach? I'll approach the university, of course. Newspaper references, the articles that you'll make available to me through the Board of Education. Anywhere else you think I should check?
I don't know of any other area. We do have some retired teachers that were here when I came, who are still living. It may be a possible source. I'd be glad to give you their names and numbers to contact them.
If I could, I'd like to do that. Sir, we appreciate your time and the effort and the graciousness that you've given to us. This concludes the interview with Leonard Messer. Total interview time, 25 minutes, 13 February, 1995.